All right. Well, I could have just kept singing for a while. Seemed like every song that we sang, I don't know, took on a special meaning. Even standing on the rock, I don't know why I'm shaking up here if I'm on the rock, but and then the hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour, so I need him right now. So anyway, I've titled my sermon today "Saturated," and it's because I want to draw out how we need to be saturated with Christ. And I guess my inspiration or what drew me to this was a song that we learned in Jamaica. And I haven't heard it since we're back. I did YouTube it, and it is on YouTube. And I'd like to have Jolene come up here and help me sing it. And I kidded with Sam about making him come up here and sing, because usually when I go up there, he would make us sing when he preached. The last time I had to preach, so I'd rather sing. But anyway, we're going to make an attempt to sing this. It's just a short chorus. Maybe you can put this on and mute me.
Saturate me in your anointing. Oh, Lord, saturate me in your presence. Cause Lord, I wanna have more, I wanna have more of your anointing in my life. Saturate me, oh Lord, today. Saturate me in your anointing. Oh Lord, saturate me in your presence. Lord, I wanna have more, I wanna have more of your anointing in my life. Saturate me, oh Lord, today.
If you have a room full of Jamaicans and you hear that song, it sounds good. Yeah. Anyway, but I want to talk a little bit about being saturated. And as I started thinking about that, I thought about some things that have been happening. We've had a really wet winter, and last summer was really wet. And the ground got saturated. And as time wore on this past winter, I had a nice work boot there that was starting to wear out. And it developed a hole in the bottom of it, right there. And as I walked on that saturated ground, I could feel the water coming up through my foot. Where the ground was dry, it didn't bother it. But where it was saturated with water, my sock got wet. And I don't know how y'all are, but wet socks can aggravate me about as much as anything. And I finally had to retire these because it was just too much. But my point is that as we live our lives, we come into contact with people that maybe they have a hole in their soul. And if we are saturated with Christ, then what we have will flow out of us and into them. And get a little bit of Christ through that little hole. And so I want to talk a little bit about being saturated, how you can be saturated. And I have a lot of scripture again, so just bear with me. If you want to try to keep up with me, you can. I'm going to go to Matthew 6, verse 33 first. And if we want to be saturated with Christ, the first thing we have to do is we have to seek Him. It says, verse 33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near." So we have to seek Him. We have to want to. Because that's how we begin. 2 Peter 3:18. Says, "But grow in the grace of and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." If we seek Him, we will begin to grow. And when we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we start to grow in Christ, then He begins to fill us. Another thing we have to do is we have to submit. I'll be real honest with you. I had to submit this week and surrender to what Christ has, what God has for my life, because this is not the easiest thing for me to do. James 4, 7 and 8 says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." And as we come near to God, it says, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you." So as we begin to seek Him and grow in Him, then He will become, He will draw near to us. And then we have to allow God to fill us. As we all know, we drive cars and, you know, we fill up the gas tank, and we don't fill it up. Most of us don't fill up once a week. We usually fill up more than that. Maybe somebody that doesn't drive a whole lot. But if I filled up once a week, my mowers or my work truck, I'd come to a halt, and I'm not gonna bring any, try to embarrass Jerry or anything, but the other last Sunday we had to stop on the way to church and fill up with gas. Just 1 gallon, yeah, it was just 1 gallon. And we were on the way to church and started sputtering, and Jerry said, "You know what that means?" And I was like, "No." And he's like, "We're out of gas." He said, "I thought we could make it." He said, "I got a gallon in the back though." When we fill up, you know, we can't just come to church on Sunday and expect to get our tanks filled and be enough to last us, you know, the whole week. Romans 15, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope..." Let me read it out of here. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And I had to think of when I was reading this, of being filled with joy and peace, and then it says overflow. And I don't know how many of y'all have heard I guess it was on Sunday in the South, where I heard it the most or whatever, and it's a guy that was talking about being filled, and he said he's drinking from the saucer because his cup is overfilled. And it was, if you pour your cup too full, it runs over into the saucer. And so that was kind of what, another thought I had is that, you know, if you're overflowing, if you're saturated, you're so full of Christ that you're overflowing, then you will drip onto other people maybe. Philippians 1 verse 9 through 11. And as I noticed, I started reading about being filled, about filling. I noticed that when Paul would write to some of these letters, that this was something that was common in what he would say. It says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." And then in Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21, it's another spot where Paul is talking to the Ephesians this time. It says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom is his whole family in heaven and on earth derives his name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And I know there's a lot of extra verses in there that maybe aren't talking about the filling, but you know, we can be full of Christ. You know, we know how his love. And it says he wants us to be full, filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Colossians 1. Nine through 14 says, "For this reason, since the day we've heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Verse 9 is where it says, "We have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." He wants us to be full of his wisdom and understanding, and you know, knowing Christ's will for our lives, knowing what he has for us. But there is also, Christ is willing to fill us up, but we have a responsibility as well. And this is back in Psalms 81, verses 8 to 12. It says, "Hear, O my people, and I will warn you. If you would but listen to me, O Israel, you shall have no foreign god among you. You shall not bow down to an alien god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it." But then the next two verses go, "But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me, so I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices." So, when we don't allow Christ to fill us, then, you know, there's nothing he can do. There's nothing he can do for us. He's gonna let us go our own way. Christ doesn't say, "Well, you don't really want that." You know what? I think of our children. You know, we put food on their plates, and, "Well, I don't want that." "Well, you need to eat it anyway." You know, and you know, maybe they won't eat all of it, but Christ, if we don't want to be filled with Christ, there's nothing he's going to do that's going to make him fill us. And I had to think of another illustration, maybe from my childhood, and I hope this doesn't get me in any trouble. But when I was young, the tub was right next to the toilet paper dispenser. And as I think about being saturated, I can remember, and it's probably Timmy's fault, but we would take toilet paper and we would get it in the bathtub and we'd get it wet. And you'd be amazed how much fun you can have with some wet toilet paper, throwing it on the walls and on the ceiling in the tub. And You know, as I thought about that, you know, as we're saturated with Christ and full of Christ, when we hit something, when we go up against something, when you know, it sticks. And you know, you get a little bit of Christ on somebody. You share a little bit of love with them. And I was just, I don't know why that came to me when I started thinking about this. But that was one of the thoughts that I guess God brought back to me. But another thing that I don't know whether you've noticed in the verses that I've been reading, and a lot of times it talks about filling, you know, Christ filling us. But there's a purpose, there's a reason why Christ fills us. We look at in Ephesians there where it says, you know, where he talks about, you know, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. But the next part, it talks about why. And why we are filled, why we need to be filled with Christ, and why God fills us is for His glory. It's what we are all created for, is to bring Him glory. Whatever we're doing, whether we're at work or play or whatever, it needs to be for God's, for Christ's glory. It says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And then Philippians 1, where I read, it talks about filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That's why we're here. That's what we're here for. And I was, as I was reading, actually Tuesday, I was Tuesday one day this week, I was mowing and I was listening to Acts. They were reading the chapter, the book of Acts, and I have it on my iPod, and I was listening, and it kind of, at the time, I didn't really think about it, but it talks about, I was reading where it was Herod, and the people, I guess he said he had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and this is in chapter 12, verse 20. I said, "And they joined together and sought an audience with him, having secured the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king. They asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food supply." It says, "On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, 'This is the voice of a god, not of a man.' It said, immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died." And then the next verse, "But the word of God continued to increase and spread." And then there was a couple other times that something like that came up. One was when Peter met Cornelius in Acts 10. It says, "As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. It said, 'But Peter made him get up.' 'Stand up,' he said, 'I'm only a man myself.'" You know, Peter realized that it was not him. Peter realized it was God, and Herod did not recognize that. And it happened to Barnabas and Paul too, as well, when they healed somebody. I think that's in chapter 14, and they called him gods. It says, verse 12 says, or 11 says, "The gods have come down to us in human form. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And they wanted to make sacrifices to them." And it says, when Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out in the crowd shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We bring you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them." They didn't want the glory. They didn't want the praise. And so it's important that we realize, like Paul did and Barnabas and Peter did, that it's not for our glory. It's not for our praise. And I'm going to bring up the scripture that I read last time. As I was looking over it, I wasn't even thinking of this one until I happened to look on my desk, and it's laying there. It's, "May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. May he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So, it's through Christ. Christ, the reason Christ fills us, the reason he equips us, the reason he gives us our giftings, our talents, is so that we can bring glory to him. That's what Christ did. Christ wanted to bring glory to God. He wasn't here to seek his own praise and glory like he could have been. So that's pretty much all I had this morning. I have a song that I'm going to ask Jeremy to play, and maybe I'll close with prayer, and then I'll have Jeremy play that song. I was here studying Friday afternoon, and as I left, this song was playing on the radio, and it just really struck me because it was kind of went along with what I was studying on, and you know, this has been a challenge to me to be filled with Christ. It's not something that I'm full of. It's not something that I think I have it. I'm there. But I guess God works on me first. So anyway, why don't we bow our heads for prayer? Dear God, I just ask that you would be with us now. Dear God, I pray that you would help us first to seek you, dear God, with our whole hearts and to want to know you deeper. Dear God, I pray that you would fill us with your love and your wisdom and knowledge and your will. Help us to know what you would have for us, dear God. And I pray that we would take what you give us and we would use it for your honor and glory, dear God. You don't fill us up so that we feel good, but you fill us so that we give you glory and you praise and we share your love to those around us. Dear God, help us to be saturated with you and to know your love and to feel your love and let it share around to those around us. Dear God, I just ask you to be with us now. In your name I pray. Amen.
Make me broken so I can be healed. 'Cause I'm so callous and now I can't feel. I wanna run to you with heart wide open. Make me broken.